Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
It's time for another Not a Thing podcast.
The streak continues.
Yes, the streak of guests continues.
Oh
Well,
yeah,
I
that
guess
streak too.
the streak of podcasts continues, right? What number are we on? Is this
A lot. Number a
60,
lot.
60, 60 something? 64? I don't
It's about,
know. It's too exciting.
we're not to the high 60s yet.
It's more that I don't want to go look up. But yeah, it's been a good run. But what we've been doing recently, if you have not been listening, is we've had guests literally every week for a month straight.
Yeah, this is now guest five in a row.
So it's pretty wild. I'm perfectly fine with having this many episodes with guests because we've had very interesting guests on. So we'll continue it as we can. I actually ran into one of our previous guests in real life out on the
What?
streets of San Francisco today. So a guest from a show quite a while ago, Chris Arkenberg was out, and he recognized me in line at Blue Bottle Coffee in San Francisco. So that was kind of fun. It's like, hey, Alan, I know you. I'm like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? That kind of thing.
You should have
So,
recorded it.
yeah, we should have done, Not a Thing live. I should have just conferenced you in on my phone or something, right? Next time, I'll use the technology a little wiser. But this time,
Not a thing, Gonzo.
so that voice you may have have not recognized because it's our guest this week. And correct me if I missay it. I only learned how to say it 14 seconds ago.
Go for it.
Just the last
Olivier
part.
Mirchafé.
That's about
Cool.
right.
That's close.
Mirchefi.
Mirchafé. I just see. I've already screwed it up.
It's all right.
I'm sorry, Omid. I'm
I'm
sorry.
raising gas prices tomorrow. I'm going to call my uncle in Iran.
I didn't know we had this power. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So Omid works at a company similar to the one that I work at. So very similar to the one that I work at in a very different department. He shapes young minds.
I do.
That sounds horrifying.
I influence. I'm an influencer.
Oh, I like that.
For
You
the
certainly
positive,
are.
right?
Certainly are.
For sure. Sure.
Let's go with that.
The Corrupter starring Chow Yun-fat.
No, I like what I do. I'm an influencer. Let's leave it at that for now. We'll get
Okay.
back to it. We'll get back
Yeah,
to it.
but you have a lot of kind of diverse and cool habits and things. And so I'm not sure what to pick or where to start. So where do you want to start? What is your thing?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of a mix of things that don't make sense. There's no cohesiveness. I
Oh, I
would,
wouldn't say that.
well, it's okay. So it's like looking at my shopping cart. If I were to like leave it in the middle of a grocery store and walk away, you'd probably see like a watermelon, a pair of socks, a spatula. They're like things that don't make sense like as a picture, but you know, on an individual level, there's definitely value to them. So I like many things, and I definitely liking this whiskey right now. That's
Podcast brought to you by Bourbon.
yeah
Not an official sponsor of the Not a Thing podcast.
yeah
Although
exactly.
if oh I can't I already forgot.
Van Winkle.
James Pepper would like to
Ooh.
sponsor our podcast. I would love it. This I'm having a small glass of their 1776 bourbon, and it's pretty good. It's a thing.
That sounds
That
old.
name drop is totally okay because it was kind of like a man crush gush. So
Man crush gush.
I totally endorse it. I totally endorse
So let's. I think if you were gonna kind of characterize any of the things that kind of work for you, I would use the word Epicurean. How about that?
That could work. Okay, I could see
that. And for the listeners who don't know the definition of that word, because I totally know what that means, but you know, you should tell the audience.
Nice, nice. Of course, right. I mean, it generally just means kind of seeking the finer things, not necessarily living in it all the time. Because
wanderlust.
Because it's kind of expensive to live in the finer things all the time. But looking for them and appreciating them is nice.
This is true. Actually, yes. That's you're a good therapist. I'd say. I'd say.
Tell me about your mother.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Yeah. Actually, let's.
That's what this podcast is really about.
No, I think I get. I think I geek out fairly quickly and connect with people fairly quickly on their interests, kind of seek a common plane. Recently, I've been really big on just fashion. And I mean, you know, bespoke shirts, and I'd like to create like a custom jacket. And so I've been going to the boutiques in San Francisco because I just moved there. And it just, for some reason, it just really inspires me. And you know, I was in Japan last year. I was in the fashion district, and everyone wore something different. Different fabrics, different colors, craftsmanship. So I'm kind of caught up in that right now. I think a custom jacket right now is kind of my geeky project. So seeking out the fabric is very high on my to-do list. Above doing any load of laundry that's still sitting in the corner of my room. Just to give you an idea of how I live.
How do you sort your laundry? Do you separate the lights and the darks, or are they just like there's coloreds and whites?
You know,
that sounded more racist than I meant it to. But
I have three separate hampers of
and they're
clean
equal,
clothes.
Separate but equal.
Separate
hampers.
But equal a clause. There is a separate but equal clause for my laundry. They're all separated. If it's something that begs to be hung or well the that doesn't sound right either. If it's something that should be hanging so it doesn't wrinkle, then it'll be the first to be hanged.
Is that the 1%?
I couldn't. Wow. It's just a vortex.
This is not good. Let's talk about this jacket. Let's just go right over this topic, right back over to the jacket. Go jacket.
Jacket. So just jacket. I have one jacket that is this beautiful black velvet piece, and it's just so niche. Like, I could maybe wear it twice a year. So I thought, okay, how could I design something that's similar in style but less niche? So I went to my tailor, and he's some crazy Vietnamese dude in San Jose.
So you have a tailor.
I do have a tailor. And he's actually in my phone as Uncle Lee. I call him Uncle Lee, and he calls me Uncle Amit.
Okay.
And so we get in some epic yelling matches over the price, of course, every time I tailor a shirt. I end up paying the same price no matter what. But anyway, this guy can do anything. And he's like, yeah, I can show you how to build a custom jacket. So he gave me the name of his fabric guy. And it was very like, you know, hey, this is the guy. This is the secret sauce for my stuff. So I'm looking for a white linen, like an agave or like one of those pineapple linens, and I'm specking out the hardware, the buttons, the stitching, and I actually have a plan to wear this around San Francisco and have like a really subtle branding on it. And so if people start to like it and they come up and like, oh, who's it made by? I could say something like, oh, this is a piece by Love Cartel. And it's that they don't even advertise, and just I want to be like the Banksy of like blazers and like seriously,
that's awesome.
I don't think that's ever like a bad, you know, marketing strategy. And my friend Michael gave me that idea. He's like, just do it and see how many people come up to you. And I thought, okay, this could work. So that's currently my geeky fashiony project that I'm working on. So I don't know when it will be released. and what part of seasonal collection it will be a part of.
Yeah, we have to. We definitely have to link that in the show notes. We'll make that work.
The release, but yeah, I will be in a fashion show. I will be in a upcoming fashion show.
This is true. I know this for a fact because I think I may also be in said fashion show. So
what is this, model cast?
It's
orange mocha frappuccino.
not
gasoline fights, you two. No gasoline fights.
Wake me up before you go.
I think it's more likely not a it's more likely not a model cast, not a thing. So the short form is the company that shall not be named is hosting a fashion show, and actually both of us were asked to participate. So
Will you get to choose your runway music?
I don't know, but I
didn't think about that.
I don't know. It's not like it's not like a strip club where it's like a 30-second song or something that you're on. You know, you're only walking around for like a few seconds.
Right.
So that music.
Well, you should still get them to play the final countdown.
Indeed. Final countdown should be a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, fashion show thing, I guess.
I got excited. I was like, oh, this is, you know, something cool and different. I've never done this before. Because I've been trying to embrace the cool and the different. I've been saying yes more often than I say no. And I'm being serious for about like 7.5 seconds. That's kind of my MO for the year. It's been good to me so far. But I thought, okay, this is something really neat and interesting. Let's do it. And then I actually got a bit nervous because I found out we don't have a sponsor. We have to provide our own outfits. And it's not that I don't believe in my, you know, my sense of style or I can't put together outfits. I started getting like nervous, like, what am I going to wear? Like actual, like prom night anxiety, you know, do these colors go together? Sure. Oh, you wore this last week, but was it really like on point? So that's kind of, you know, it's kind of nerve wracking actually.
Yeah. It's funny because, when I guess a fashion show similar to this was done before and there was a sponsor, so everyone got clothes, they had someone kind of pick clothes out for them. And so I'm not 100% sure how this works because whose fashion is this really showcasing if we have to provide our own clothes?
Right.
Because my fashion means that it's probably at least 3 years out because that's the last time I bought like really cool clothes was like a few years ago. So, you know, it's not exactly trend setting. It's
throwback.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's throwback.
Fashion show.
Yeah. It's throwback, baby.
And, you know, everything comes back around again. So maybe it'll fit this
it's
time.
It's timeless.
It's the great bard Justin Timberlake said, what goes around comes around.
I think he might have been paraphrasing on that.
Oh, cry me a river.
Yeah. So actually, I think when we first met, the thing you were most into, at least what it seemed like the thing you were most into, was actually photography.
Right. And it's funny you actually mentioned that because I am on the quest to get a new camera. I had one and I got it, let's say 2 years ago about this time, and I got it just before I went to Egypt. I went for a friend's wedding. I took the camera and I decided to take several thousand shots before I go on this trip. And I thought, okay, I want to learn the camera. I want to learn. I have a collection of beautiful Nikon prime lenses, manual focus, that I've been using with an adapter. And I thought, okay, I'm going to nail down how to manual focus, you know, moving targets. I want to learn, you know, different lighting situations, etc. I want to get comfortable with this thing. I want it to be second nature. So I took the camera everywhere and took pictures of everything and annoyed the crap out of everyone because that's what you're supposed to do as like a photographer, curious photographer. And then I took it to Egypt. And in about 12 or 13 days, I took like 3,700 photos and almost got arrested because I was inside like a sacred tomb. And like, you know, you're snapping off, I don't know how many photos, and you can hear a pin drop, and all you're hearing is my shutter going off. So it's not like I can hide that. And I don't know how to say in Arabic, hey, you know,
don't shoot me.
Yeah, don't shoot me. I'm with this group.
That'd be the first thing I'd learn if I went there.
Yeah. So that's a lesson learned is, you know, everyone like giggles about learning the bad words in the language, but you really want to know, how do you deal with police? How do you deal with customs agents? And how do you negotiate?
Learn how to say, don't shoot, I'm Canadian.
Yeah, don't shoot, I'm Canadian. But yeah, I took some amazing shots in Egypt, and the trip itself really kind of opened my eyes about, you know, poverty that's going on in the world. And it was the 1 year anniversary of their revolution. So there was a high, you know, among the populace. And I mean that metaphorically, of course. I fell in love with photography. I fell in love with, you know, just capturing people, street photography. And I do have some favorite photographers like Robert Capa or Cartier-Bresson.
How about Thomas Kincaid?
but I love to take photos. Took them in Japan, did the same thing. And I parted ways with that camera, and, you know, I was selling off some stuff and consolidating. But now I'm on the lookout for something new, and moving to this city. Now there's plenty of good opportunities. So, you know, I'm into the meetups. I'm into just going to the industrial areas after work and just snapping off some rounds. So still a huge, huge photo geek.
Well, it seems like that would mash up well with the fashion.
Yeah, you know, except this time I'm on the catwalk, right? So
on the catwalk?
So technically you're asking me to take selfies while I'm walking down the catwalk. Which itself is already, you know, would probably like mark me for death.
GoPro catwalk selfies.
Yeah, GoPro.
I have the selfie stick for taking GoPro shots.
So I know.
I would probably
awesome.
Attach it to the top of my wingtip boots and just, you know, as I'm like turning around, like angle it up, like it's like looking at me. I look kind of, you know, like I'm stepping out of a car. You know, I'm late to the party. I'd have to practice those poses. But
that GoPro selfie stick blew that guy's mind in Colorado. Remember that?
That's right. Yeah. So we went to Colorado together, and we were going around. We were doing like a brewery crawl. Brewery crawl, and we went to one. And so I have a GoPro, so we could take like pictures of ourselves while we were doing whatever, and we took one, and the guy who was tending bar was like, "What is that?" and kind of picked it up and walked it around the room. And so we have some video of him just like walking it around the room, taking pictures of himself and the other patrons at the bar. And it was odd because it's like he'd never seen like a GoPro before. And
what witchcraft is this?
And I feel like in Colorado, which has kind of a reputation for sort of extreme sports, like, you know, mountain biking and the kayaking kind of thing, I feel like people should know what a GoPro camera looks like.
Well, the gods must be crazy, right?
I think it's...
You should have thrown a bottle of Mexican Coke at his head.
Yeah, I think it's just a factor of not, you know, it's that what is it, an uneven distribution of technology kind of thing, and it's kind of the wavefront of the uneven distribution of technology.
Right. It is still middle America.
It is. This is true.
although you know they're progressive in other ways.
Oh.
Anyway,
they're very progressive.
So, what other things do you geek out on?
What have I been geeking out of? I do love to cook.
Okay.
And two of my favorite kitchen purchases, culinary purchases. I have a Blendtec blender that I am super proud of, like a father. Like, that thing is amazing. I use it to make my daily smoothies. That thing will blend anything, any texture, any size. It's absurd. It's like 3 horsepower. Okay, so it's like 2 lawnmowers in one. That thing is amazing. And it's super expensive, but it's totally worth it. I like that. I also absolutely love my carbon steel wok that I ordered from the wok shop in San Francisco. It was like $25. That thing is amazing for like cooking just about anything. And if you say that you're too lazy to cook, you just need a carbon steel wok and ideally a gas burner. But just seriously, toss in some diced up vegetables, some meat, and like 2 different sauces that are different flavors, like fish sauce and, I don't know, some lemongrass or sesame. And then, you know, let it caramelize and that's it. You got a dish. So that's – I geek out over food, definitely. But cooking – you know, I'm Persian, so my mom, like – my mom cooked a lot when we were growing up. And so I learned a lot of the stews. I still got to make some stews at my new place. But yeah, absolutely love to cook. And anytime I find out someone can make bread or beer or any of those like artisanal –
So basically, Alan.
So, but, yeah, I was trying to be really roundabout. I was trying to be really. I didn't want his head to explode. I'm, you know, I don't feel like cleaning up the mess if that happened. But yeah, much respect for those kind of things. And you know, I'm a fan of, maybe this reflects my personality, but I'm definitely a fan of like those dishes where the ingredients on paper, you're like, there's no way that would create a tasty dish, and you throw it together and you're like, oh my God, who came up with this? So I've been learning some of those from a coworker of mine. She's an amazing, amazing cook. But yeah, I like to experiment in the kitchen too.
Keen. Yeah. Running themes that I see are that there's kind of a big attention to or appreciation of like the kind of craftsman kind of style of things. So things that are created via whatever means. And I definitely see that appreciation in you from like the conversations we've had.
Right.
So like we were talking about, you know, people that make bread, like, you know, tailors, you know, just people that have like really specialized and honed one like really particular craft. You know, so what, you know, does that like come from anything in particular, or have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's definitely part cultural, because in my culture, I'm Persian, where there's a high, appreciation for handcraft, for rug making, obviously it's famous for, but we have at my parents' house, it looks like a freaking museum, right? You walk in and like, there are things that are like banged out of like a single piece of copper, and it probably took the guy like 10 years to make, right? And it's probably like a national treasure now. You could never like bring it out of the country. But stuff like that, I think tailors, actually it's a good profession to point out. And I would say even butchers, if you think about it, every culture, I think every town at every point in history has probably had those two professions, and they're really the arts, I guess, that really aren't being automated. I mean, that's maybe not fair to say. There's still some automation kind of encroaching on them, but you're still going to need a good tailor. You're still going to want a butcher who knows like the difference between a good cut and a bad cut, and like how to cook stuff. So I have a higher appreciation for that. I'm really into watches, for instance, and there's a manufacturer, Swiss Blancpain, and they have a watchmaking school. I want to say it's 2, maybe even 3 years long. And you go there and you learn to make a watch that contains over 4,000 pieces. Some of them cannot be seen with the human eye.
Would one of those pieces be a laser? Or perhaps a garrote wire? Or some sort of trigger mechanism?
Yeah, I think the garrote wire is an optional add-on, I think.
But I mean, point being that these you know, this craft making, this craftsmanship still exists in parts of the world. So, you know, in a case like Blancpain, if it's been around such that they can create like an entire educational track for it, then there's still a high enough demand for it. And when I say demand in this case, I'm not really referring to like monetary things. I'm referring to like appreciation for that craftsmanship. So that makes me feel good. You know, when I buy almost anything, like the razor I shave with, the old school safety razor, I know Alan has one. You just look at like the knurling on it, you know, on the handle, or the way the chrome was like dipped, and you know, you kind of get, I can get lost in the details and like appreciate that, you know, there's nothing about this design that really needs to be like updated. You know, it's classic. It works. It's like a thing of beauty. So I like to hold something and be like, hey, this is, some thought went into this. So I like to know that people still care about what they make, you know, what they put in their mouth, et cetera. So
you shouldn't put your razor in your mouth.
You should not.
If the Joker has taught us anything.
Razor in your mouth, not a thing. Done.
Craftsmanship, a thing.
Yeah.
Creating things, literally a thing.
Literally.
Right. I mean, I think that plays into a lot of this, you know, themes we've had on the show about like, you know, finding a niche and then making something. So what do you think about things that democratize kinds of creation of stuff like 3D printing?
So I'm a huge fan of providing that platform to all tiers of like a population. You know, like it shouldn't just be accessible to like the uber rich or like, you know, the super smarty pants like population, you know, engineers. I think that, you know, if I'm a carpenter and I just, there's like a need for a specific tool, and in my line of work it would be super useful, and I come up with it, and other people are like, oh, I never thought of this, so I can see how it's useful. There's, I think bringing a platform like that and allowing people to materialize, to bring to life like an idea in their head, I think that's where the next frontier really is. Like people talk about like, you know, I don't know, people talk about like quantum and like conquering a new, you know, whatever, like frontier. I think in terms of creation, I think it's being able to just create anything that comes to your mind. Just even as a prototype, as a fairly like lo-fi prototype, like instantly, right? Because I have ideas all the time. We all do. But then tomorrow I forget it. Or if I do remember, it's not the same resolution or the same like intensity as like the day before. So imagine like I'm at a red light and something comes to mind and like, I want to snap that visually. I want to capture that. And then I want to print it when I get home, and then I can like fiddle with it. I think that's huge. I think that the same way that, and this is kind of seems kind of like tangential, but the same way that like many prescription drugs are used for like off-label use, I think that people would come up with really interesting uses for other people's creations, right? Like if I come up with a random idea and I print it and I don't quite know what to do with it, maybe it solves someone else's problem. So it's kind of like a crowd, you know, wisdom of the crowds type thing. So I'm a huge believer in that, actually, especially with 3D printing. Actually, I think 3D printing is, someone needs to, I think probably Elon Musk will do it. He can do like anything. He's really the Tony Stark of our era. He is.
That's what we've said.
The way, bored Elon Musk, I think, is my favorite parody Twitter account.
I don't know that one.
Yes. And you can probably scroll back to his suggestion of throwing popcorn kernels into suntan lotion, and they pop when you've had too much sun. So it's which, you know, I think Elon Musk himself could actually market somehow, but but yeah, 3D printing is big. It's still not ready for prime time. I think serviceable parts, I think we need to agree on certain standards for parts, maybe the class of machine, maybe the material itself, sustainable materials, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I think bring that to schools, bring that to elementary schools, right? Like, you know, the mind of a child. Like, I played with Legos. No, I mean, who didn't?
Right.
And I think stuff like that is really, I think, fundamental to, you know, it's like culmination of like Legos, Etch-a-Sketch, you know, Mr. Potato Head. It's like everything enrolled into one super toy. And if we brought that to, like, you know, elementary school kids, grade school kids, and just watch them create stuff, I think that would blow some minds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the I like it as like the what is it, the evolution of Plato, essentially. Oh, is, yeah, the way I think of it, right? Not absolutely. Plato, not Plato, you know, student of
right.
DOH, not TO.
Yeah.
The one, yeah, that tastes weird. Not well, I mean, Plato probably tasted weird too, but
probably. Anyway, yes. Yeah, it's just that kind of, I like it as a right now anyway, it's like a cool prototyping idea, a cool way to just manifest things in a hurry, right?
Right.
It's sketching in 3D.
Right.
Is the way I see it.
It's making moleskins obsolete.
I actually endorse Field Notes, which is made in the USA, but that's just me. Quick plug. Not that Aaron Draplin needs any more plugs. His company's great. He should sponsor us. That'd be sick,
actually.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Let's see. What other things are kind of interesting in this kind of space for? Oh, I know. You were telling me about a project you wanted to do. And it is kind of an artisanal profession, and it was shoe shining.
Yeah. You have a good memory. So
Field Notes, I write it down.
Yeah. Those things work. Those things work. Yeah. Who needs Evernote? You just need Field Notes. So I got like one pair, my first pair of like really nice leather shoes. And, you know, and then like a grown man, I had to learn how to shine my shoes, right? That's a plug, by the way. I think all men, you know, after you learn to shave and tie your shoe, like all the grown up stuff, like learn to shine your freaking shoes, okay? Like keep them in good shape.
Yeah, totally, guys.
Seriously.
We all know how to do
you
that.
You can practice on like the tip of your chucks. I'm sure.
I got like DC skate shoes. I don't think I can shine them.
But anyway, so I was like, okay, what's the most, you know, efficient way, quickest way to do like a quick shine? And so of course I go on YouTube and I start seeing all these crazy shoe shine videos, these techniques and this different slang, like fire shining, the officer's shine, the you know, the cadet shine. And I saw videos of people shining shoes in Times Square, shining shoes like in Istanbul, like all over the world. And it made me realize, just like butchers, just like tailors, we have shoe shiners in like every corner of the world. And it's really fascinating to me because shoe shining, if you think about it, you can be dirt poor. You could probably afford a shoe shine at some point. Or you could be super rich and you shine your shoes twice a day. But the point is, the accessibility factor is there to, like, you know, the entire stretch of the population. And I'm assuming, of course, but let's just go with it. So I saw these videos and people were shining shoes, you know, all over the world. And I thought, okay, that's something that doesn't really change. It really hasn't changed. Maybe the tools have, but you still shine the same way. And there's still an appreciation for it. So I thought, okay, what if I bought the materials to shine shoes and I hopped on a bike and I got the bike riding idea from a high school buddy. He rode across Europe and it took him about 4.5, maybe 6 months. Then he flew to South America and he spent another 4 months biking around the continent. I thought, okay, let me get a bike. Let me pack up shoe shining materials into a backpack and let me shine shoes along the way to make up, you know, to earn money to pay for the trip. And I thought, okay, I could probably shine the shoes of some crazy warlord in one country and the shoes of some like random, very like middle class couple from California, and then maybe some really like, you know, poor working class in another country. But the point is, you're shining shoes for 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. Someone's going to tell you a story, right? Or maybe they don't talk to you at all. But
is it Black Shoe Diaries?
But yeah, Black Shoe Diaries. That could be a name.
We'll have to have David Duchovny read it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Or maybe David Sedaris. Yeah. I would have David Sedaris.
Oh, okay.
But I was thinking about doing this and just seeing what are the stories I could collect. And then, you know, if I started to record this and post it up on a site while I'm riding around, maybe I could do like in high school you had the rose gram, you know, you bought a rose for someone, you had it delivered. Maybe I could ask like random people, hey, do you want to shine like so-and-so's shoes in, you know, in Laos? I'm in Laos. Do you want to pay to have this gentleman's shoes shine? And they say yes. And maybe given the currency exchange rate, it's like 25 cents, you know, to the American or whoever's paying for it. They pay for the shoe shine. I tell the recipient, hey, it was paid for by this person. And I kind of create like a bond between them. Say, hey, someone out there said, yeah, I want you to feel good for a day. And this kind of, I got a little sentimental because one of my bucket list items is to actually do a TED talk. And I actually had a dream about this, that what if I did this and like, let's say, I don't know, let's say I shine like 8,000 pair of shoes and I magically find myself back where I started, back in my hometown. And, you know, I just see that, you know, all these people, random strangers, were like kind of random acts of kindness type thing. People wanted to just say, hey, like I'm paying for your shoe shine, and just talk about that, you know, it didn't matter like people's backgrounds or, you know, whatever. Like at the end of the day, like people want to do something nice for someone.
Random so acts of shyness.
Random acts of shyness.
Yes. Like,
wow. Get that URL today.
it's probably take.
We'll have to get .net.
Yeah.
I'm sure
that .ru is the only one left.
Yeah.
And all your mail will be blocked.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think what's great about that story, because the first time you told me about it, it's like it sounds like a documentary. It's like a documentary in the making, but it's also like a book, it's a podcast, it's a TED Talk. I think what you need is a media conglomerate. you just need one. You just need like the brand,
Let me translate what Alan's saying. He's basically saying sell this story to DreamWorks and then have Zac Efron star as the guy who gave up his Silicon Valley dreams.
Zac Efron.
Hey, he's out of rehab now. So
is he out of rehab? Good for
him. He's out of rehab.
I think riding around two continents would probably do him some good, flush out some of those drugs. But starring Zac Efron in a romantic romantic movie chick flick to dethrone The Notebook, which my parents still talk about, and that means I just refuse to ever watch it.
So. Still,
the
never.
The more
seen
they talk
it.
About it, the more resistance is there. They've never learned the merits of reverse psychology, but good for them.
Too much. Oh, what? So. I'm still like, really, you want Zac Efron playing you in a movie?
No,
really?
I absolutely do not want. I can't think of another young, dark, marginally Middle Eastern looking, you know, up and coming star. Am I just really that out of the loop? Or
no, Dev Patel?
I mean, I would say like Cal Penn, but
he's like 40.
He's like, exactly. He's like 40, so that can't work. But yeah, that's an open casting call. If you're listening to this,
if you are a young up and coming actor,
yeah. If all you've starred in were like Clearasil commercials, and you're looking for a break, this could be it. This is
maybe a shoe commercial.
Maybe a shoe commercial. Kiwi shoe polish.
Shoe experience preferred.
Right.
Yeah. Payless Shoe Source. You want Payless Shoe Source?
Skechers. It's the S.
But no Uggs. If you're an Ugg commercial, you can just go jump off a bridge.
Wow. Hard line on the Uggs. Yeah.
I am a hardliner, right? I'm the Axis of Evil. We're hardlining.
That's not what I was saying. I mean,
hardlining group saying. Of people. I'm just trying to get the NSA to tune in. Hold on, I just want to drop a few.
Keywords. We've perked their ears a few times. I think
they're tuning in already.
I was gonna say, that's what that echo is about.
Yeah, that's the echo you're hearing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's going to Langley and back. That's where that echo.
Well, I have had a great time having you on, Omid. It's been fun, really, to have guests kind of as many times as we've had, and I know I've wanted to have you on for a while, so it's been a good 40-ish or so minutes. How do you feel about it? Do you feel it was good?
Yeah, I you know, we had a long I had a long day, and I was a bit tired. I was like, oh, I want to give these people, you know, give them my best. And I'm totally awake.
I think we
now.
Got it.
I'm totally awake now, which surprised me. So I'm kind
of. And Alan doesn't have a monopoly on being glad that you're here. The whole podcast welcomes you.
Yeah. So you're ready to record now, and you weren't ready to record like 40 minutes ago. Is that
yeah. So this 40 minutes was just a warm up.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, we're going not a thing pop. Hey, Brendan.
Oh man.
No, this was excellent. This was really good, guys. I didn't know what to expect, and then of course I thought about who's on it. I'm like, you don't have to expect anything. So just have to have a good time.
That's what we do. Create no expectations.
No expectations.
Since 2012. Not a big podcast.
No expectations. My therapist would be proud.
Cool. So can people find you on the internet? Should we link your Twitter? Yeah, should we link your Twitter? I don't know. Do you want us to link your Twitter?
Link my Twitter. Yeah. I'm pretty active on Twitter.
Your pictures from Egypt, are those in a place where people can see, or is that maybe
those
not?
Are not, but
not for
I do
public
post
consumption?
Yeah, I do post random, you know, if you find me on Twitter and you chase me down and I like you, then I may send you my it's like the Wonka golden ticket thing, like you gotta put in some effort.
Got it.
But you can also find me on Instagram, Sacafotos, S-A-C-A FOTOS.
Okay, we'll link all of this in the show notes. We'll make sure everyone can find you. And thanks again for
this was great.
For coming on the show.
Thanks for the whistle.
Thanks for joining us.
You have to say it in the Bane voice.
You now have my permission to end this podcast.
Very nice. Very
excellent.
Nice.
Excellent stuff, Brennan. I will talk to you next week.
Until next time.
Thank you, sir.
Was that me or Brendan? For the sir.
You get sir priority.
Oh, you're thinking Brendan.
I was thinking
Brendan. Okay. Oh, I was thinking as the elder statesman, you get sir priority.
You shut your mouth. I'll talk to you next week, Ben.
All right.